Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 461.
The not box office report.
The sort of kind of box office report. Yeah, calm down. We're going to talk about the box office. I know there are some huge proponents of the box office. They're always afraid it's going to go away.
Good, Kevin.
Oh, you meant other than me? Oh, yeah. Okay.
And Kevin's like, I sunk all this money into an abacus.
I've replaced it three times already.
Now you guys want to mess with it.
Do you know at Disney World, at Epcot, in that China pavilion, how expensive those abacus
Abacai.
Cost? Oh, yeah, that's true. There are many to choose from. Yes.
Or if you're Phil Collins, Abacab.
Abacab.
There you go.
So that's a little joke for our older listeners.
Yeah.
That's I don't know if it's quite an old-timey reference.
I think it's pretty close.
It's a mid-timey reference.
It's pretty close, yeah. So
it's a middle-aged reference.
Yeah.
But your Disney abacus is weird because it's all Mickey ears.
I know.
It's like,
don't line up quite right.
It's like you're a serial killer of cartoon characters.
Well, just one cartoon. Cartoon mice.
Well, it could be... No, it could be Mickey. It could be Minnie. Oh,
that's true.
It
that's
could
two.
Be
Mortimer.
It could be Mortimer.
Could be the nephews.
It could be
unnamed.
The nephews.
Oh, I always forget about the nephews.
Yeah. So
the there's a lot. There are no Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
There are a lot of ears out there to collect if you're a sick bastard. So we should probably go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. And you can also go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers. Join the League of Show Sharers. This is where I normally read the names. But it was late night. And the monkeys weren't
well, speaking
town,
of Mickey,
no, I mean, you know, I get it.
The monkeys weren't town.
Yeah.
And that's my band. And just to make it even sadder, that morning of the show, Mike pretty much said, this is the last stop of the tour, and I'm probably done now.
Oh.
And so I think they have some Australian dates he's going to go do, but like...
But you got to see the... I mean,
so I got to see
Mickey.
The last U.S. date.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty cool.
If that holds. And they're not getting any younger.
No.
And so...
You might get one more.
I don't know, man.
Maybe, you know?
They're looking
pretty
tired.
I feel like if the Stones can keep doing it...
Yeah, but there's a lot more money... To entice the Stones into doing it.
That's fair.
You know? And
it's just the facts of life. I mean, you get older. It's not, I mean, rocking to pop songs, just like Mike said. I mean, it's no fault of theirs. They've been doing it for a long time.
Right.
But it's like, it just at some point it becomes like.
Yeah. And this is a guy that like stayed away from the band for 30 years.
Yeah.
And he's been back doing stuff off and on for the last 8. So I think he's probably like, yeah, okay, that was fun. I'm done now.
Yeah, I've had my.
Remember that thing 30 years ago that I came back for?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
And he's like, and I got all that liquid paper money.
That's true.
So
is there a lot of liquid paper money?
Yeah. His mom had been in Whiteout. I mean, you know that, right?
Like, I did not.
Oh, it's
know
a very
that.
Common like piece
he's
of trivia.
Told us before.
Yeah. His mom.
400 plus episodes.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Yeah. And he listens. I mean, how much do I know about wrestling?
Yeah,
I like completely. As soon as he's like, you know, Jerry Lawler, and it's instantly in my head, Calliope
I
music.
Have to see, with that, I have to start
yeah,
with
Andy
Kaufman.
Yeah, but you're like Kaufman. Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to start with Andy Kaufman.
Was that on Letterman?
It was on Letterman. You know, that was all fake, right?
He finally came out.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
because he claimed forever
if you,
it was.
Well,
not.
If you watch that Letterman thing, he hits him hard. Yeah. And there's a one point where you're like, oh, maybe.
But it's fake in the way that wrestling is fake. That yeah. It's scripted, they hurt, but they still take hits.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I also think like.
It's like porn. It's scripted, but they still take a pounding.
Yeah, they do. That's true. Is it scripted? I feel like it has to be.
Well, yeah.
There's
a cinematographer.
I do think it's like wrestling. I think they're like, okay, we're going to do a triple Lindy.
Right.
And then
right,
I'm
going
to flip you over and put my finger here. Right.
And I'll tell you what, then I'm going to give you a tap and you just follow my lead for the rest.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know.
calling their spots, so to speak.
And and one of them always ends up with their face covered in a bodily fluid.
It's also true.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
just flat on their back.
Very similar. Very, very similar. So this is where we miss Dan the most.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Did we though? Because we would have been stopped.
When you say miss.
It's no fun to say crude and offensive things if he's not here to chastise us.
If we can't get
us.
Dan to go,
yeah.
It is a weird progression the show has taken because we were always reined in, so we could make our little joke, but for a second, and then it would right. be reined in. It's weird now that we can just.
Yeah.
Game on.
I'm sorry. It's weird that you guys can just.
Yeah.
Self-correct myself.
Right, right. Exactly. So
I'm just like notes for editing, notes for editing. Dan was doing my job in real time before, notes for editing.
So actually the real reason I don't have a League of Show Sharers is Facebook wasn't working properly for me. I used to be able to click on the share thing and it would show me everyone who shared it, and that was unclickable this morning.
News item number one, Facebook last week.
And Instagram.
Unusable.
Gone.
So I'm hoping that that's just a short-term quirk. So if you shared last week, know that you're in our hearts. We just don't know who you are.
And number one in our hearts and in our programs.
Yes. So also don't forget our Patreon account, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month you get all sorts of bonus content. And in case you didn't notice, you might even end up on the show sometimes.
We've had two guests on the show lately. So, I mean, it's been, you know, in 2019, both of them this year, and they've been pretty close together. So.
And Kevin agreed to do a WrestleMania watch-along, so that's what we're doing.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding.
By Kevin, do you mean Kevin James?
Kevin Dunn from the WWE.
Yeah.
So that's just one more reason to entice you into joining our Patreon. So there, we've got all that out of the way. And this is where I guess we're going to try something new where we talk more about just things that have happened in the world of Hollywood throughout the week before sliding into the box office, which sounds dirty when I say it like that.
It's cool.
But
that's how I always think of it.
Yeah. That's why your abacus is always sticky.
And at the ready.
Yeah.
Not particularly in that order, but
would you be at the ready and then stick?
That's the way it should work,
right? So I guess probably the big story of the week is
Jimmy Gunn
is Marvel.
Yeah,
had a big F you to internet trolls.
What a great move and great timing.
I guess we should say officially, in case someone lives under a rock doesn't know, or they're listening to this 3 months from now, they rehired James Gunn for Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which
it's been since last summer.
Quite the turnaround.
Considering they were just like, nope.
Well, Bob Iger was like, nope.
Yeah.
And then the other guy was like, yeah, I've been meeting him with this whole time. And he's
what
sorry. Well, yeah, it wasn't Bob Iger. It's the president of Disney or something. You know, it's not the CEO of Disney. It was whoever else. I can't remember the guy's name. We'll look it up. But he's like, he met with James Gunn a few times. And apparently the insider, you know, and take it for a grain of salt, Joe, you know, the rumors, how they can be.
And innuendos.
But apparently they never even looked for a new director. All the Taika Waititi, this stuff was conjecture.
Yeah.
And they had met with James Gunn a few times. They felt that he was genuinely sorry. He apologized. He was sorry before he made the first Guardians movie. So it was a big mess, but they always planned on it. And this news is happening about 1 week before the $70 billion Fox-Disney merger.
I'm really surprised.
I thought they were going to hold it.
They didn't sit on it until after the merger went through.
I really think they probably were going to, because it's so close. It's one of those things where, like, when it's so close and you just can't
wait. This should happen on Wednesday. The deal should be done on Wednesday.
Is it this one? It's within the next week.
It's the 20th, was the date.
So, but also with Captain Marvel and the Rotten Tomatoes stuff, I mean, they're already making all the money, but you've got a lot of trolls out there saying, oh, well, now, you know, Disney is buying tickets to fill theaters. They're making up all this crazy stuff. I know. It's all conspiracies now of how they're making so much money. But this is just
how do you make money by buying your own tickets.
They're not trying to. They're like, oh, records. And they're putting it as like, oh, this is just a statement, whatever. But
if that worked, then, I mean, record labels would buy their own records.
It's exactly like
they do to get platinum sometimes, don't they? Or at least they used to buy a bunch to get it.
No, I mean, there was like payola and stuff like that, but that wasn't, they weren't buying their own product. It was like they were paying off radio stations to get spins up because the more times you hear on the radio, the more likely you were to go buy it. They would do stuff like that.
Yeah.
They were gaming the YouTube system, and so that became an issue, but they were never, that I was aware of, I've never heard accusations that they would just go out and buy their own records.
That was Nickelback.
Maybe it was a different industry, but I remember someone buying something to raise.
Now, books sometimes have this.
It's the books. Get on the bestseller list real quick, yes.
Yeah, they'll have kind of scams like that, or where it's like, they'll do a public speaking tour, and then part of getting them to come speak they bundle a book.
CDs
or,
with the concert.
That's what happens.
That's the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Prince
did that, and then they reconfigured how they calculated the charts.
But that's how they gave the charts. They gave you a CD and counted it as a CD.
That was the Kevin Smith story where it was just like, nobody wanted to hear the new stuff. Like, they wanted to hear the old stuff. But when you bought a Prince ticket, you got a copy of the new CD.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, the new album went like triple platinum.
Yeah, because every time he went to a city, he was selling 17,000 copies
exactly.
of it.
And then
yeah,
you got to go buy it if you don't already. Because you're like, wow, well, the new one's super platinum. Like,
I got to get it now.
Interesting.
So,
but yeah, it's...
Oh, but I didn't get to finish. Sorry.
We prefer it that way.
with my abacus and the stickiness, it's cleaner that way. But no, the thing I was going to say is I think the reason they came out even a week earlier, because at this point, it's a done deal. It doesn't matter.
Right.
But I think was to combat the trolls. Because obviously you have this, I don't know if you say white nationalist, I don't know if you say just...
Yeah, no, you could say whatever you want.
Whatever you want to say this crowd is that's being so crappy to Captain Marvel.
It's alt-right. Yeah,
alt-right, yeah.
So like, Gate, the whole shebang.
So they've got that going on, and then Captain Marvel makes $500 million in one weekend, and then now they're doing all these conspiracies and stuff, and I think they're like, well, yeah, remember when you guys shut down James Gunn? Well, he's coming back.
Yeah.
I think it was just timely where they wanted to combat those guys with all the Captain Marvel stuff going on.
And I also think like it kind of takes the heat off Captain Marvel for right now. You know what I mean? Like, they can focus on James Gunn and leave Captain Marvel alone, and she kind of gets to do her own thing without having all the trolls on, you know.
I guess
and
could,
then
yeah.
they can and James Gunn, who is perfectly okay with taking the heat.
To me, I don't know. I feel like it's like they were so successful with Captain Marvel in spite of those people that they're just like, suck it.
Yeah,
that's true.
That they're just like, we're going to stare
it's
it
such
down.
It's such a small contingent of people. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Is they are extremely vocal because they use...
The internet.
Hopefully nobody checked my Twitter feed the last couple days because it has been bad.
You've been fighting?
Yeah, I've been fighting. Yeah. Like, I called EVS out on some stuff, and then
did you get a response?
I did.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Wow, okay.
Not just from him.
But, his fans.
I mean, like, so I would close my... I'd close my phone or whatever, and then I'd come, like, oh, I guess I'll check it. And I would have, like, 25 things of people responding to me. Like,
is that why I got like 30 unfollows on Twitter? I think they found me from you.
Oh, maybe. That could have been.
All of a sudden, I'm like, what is with all these people?
But I almost made my account private, but I was like, no. Like,
that's the point.
And also, I wanted to be like, you guys are spending a lot of time on Twitter. Like, I am checking this every maybe hour and a half, 2 hours when I have a second. Yeah. But it is, it was... And it was fine. Like, whatever.
Well, can I tell you another theory, too? So, aside from saying suck it to those trolls and trying to put them in their place, there also is a very split, much larger number of fans that are anti-Captain Marvel but love James Gunn and Guardians and his ability to make jokes that he wants to make and stuff. So, I actually feel like they won back a ton of Marvel fanboys by doing this because they gave them what they want. Because that made a lot of people mad. And it made a lot of people go, Disney is ruining Star Wars. Disney is ruining Marvel. You know, you're firing the best thing that happened. Like, so they want a lot of goodwill back with the show too, so
they got it.
I mean, and the internet is just going crazy with love. I mean, I honestly was so happy because, I mean, what James Gunn has done for those movies, for Marvel, setting the tone from there on out, he's done so much, and that's such a personal story. Like, those characters, I just watched Volume 2 again, and I know that you like 1 better than 2.
I do.
But I was having a nice discussion with people online. And
That's weird.
Yeah, no, I mean, really, I have a nice tight...
What website were you using for this?
Yes, if you surround yourself with the right people, like, you know, there's a lot of people on Twitter, the film Twitter community, that are great, open-minded, and will discuss things rather than just, you know, yell at you. But, you know, I was talking with a lot of people that prefer to. Like, I don't know. I'm not necessarily like one is so much better than the other, but I really love two. And I got into
two is definitely a more personal story than one. For sure.
I think the problem, just real quick, the problem with two versus one And it's the problem with any two versus any one.
Right.
Is that, and I said this about with the Iron Man movies, is that first Iron Man movie, you get the giddy joy of discovery.
Right.
Like, you didn't expect that, and it just blows you away. And you can never really ever truly recapture that.
You only have one chance to make a first impression.
Absolutely. So, like, even if two is technically a better film,
right?
It's just never.
Which it's not.
It's but. Yeah, but I'm just saying. Even if it were, it's never going to hit you on the same gut level the way the first one did.
Sure, and if they do, if they try to replicate it, it's just a retread.
Right.
There's nothing new.
It's such, and so I think in that regard, he did a great job with two.
Oh, yeah.
That like it still has that feel, but it feels like a continuation of the story.
It's
not
interesting
a retread.
Because I feel like so it's very rare that a sequel is better than the original, right?
I actually have a topic of discussion for that, but
oh,
go on.
Perfect.
Yeah.
We'll table that, or we could segue into it. So welcome back, James Gunn.
I really love the second movie, and I just rewatched it again. You know, I saw it in theater two times. I saw it on Blu-ray when it came out, but I put a little space between it, and then when I was talking to people about how much I remember loving it and other people saying, this is my favorite Marvel movie, this is my favorite of, you know, this is my top three, I got a lot of people that really love it, and I'm like, I do too. I wonder where it fits for me right now. I watched it, and it is such, like Joe said, a personal story.
It is, yeah.
The character development, the things that Star-Lord goes through. Star-Lord, Peter Quill, has lost his mother recently. He discovers his father. He loses his father all in one movie. He has to choose between blood family and family that he's found. And there's so much going on with those characters. There is Gamora and Nebula dealing with each other, right? I mean,
well, you've also got...
You've got Rocket and his relationship with Peter.
And you've got Peter and Gamora.
Right, and you have Yondu and Peter. It is such a complex character study, and they grow so much within one movie. It's like, I think people aren't giving it credit for what it, like, they're not looking at it that way. They're just like, oh, there's something different than the first. But, like, even though it's different to me, that's not a bad thing. And I love what it's saying. And I just think it has the most genuine heart of probably any Marvel movie, I think. I think it's the like most personal character, heart-driven. You know, Captain America gets pretty close.
That's the one I was going to say,
but, geez, that Guardians 2 is like, you know, it's amazing. So anyway, I
wonder what his paycheck was. That's the... I mean, he's locked in for Suicide Squad 2.
He already got a paycheck for the script no matter what. He had like a pay or play.
But, oh, for sure.
So I think it was like 10 mil.
That sounds about right.
So I think he just keeps getting 10 mil.
But now, but
maybe they bump it up.
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
if he had a pay or play and he already got paid,
paid for the script.
Yeah, but you would.
No, it was to direct it too, but it was a package. So
I gotcha.
But you would think if they're bringing him back now, they gotta. That contract was voided.
Correct.
Like, so,
you fired him.
Oh,
that contract's gone.
I wonder how long that. Like, is it really, though? Like, did they cancel it, or was the contract there?
So this is the question, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did they ever plan on... I don't want to get conspiracy either.
What?
Did they ever fire him? I wonder.
I mean...
Was this PR?
It could have been.
No, this is such a weird way to try and...
Okay. I would think that if they didn't really fire him, he wouldn't have taken Suicide Squad.
Yeah. They wouldn't have let him go to DC.
Yeah. Okay. So that's my next point.
I mean, that's a fair...
Fair enough.
Is do not... Now... Does Disney say, if you're part of this universe, you are exclusive to us?
No.
You cannot go to another. You cannot go to Warner Brothers and do a Superman movie.
Isn't it kind of? Isn't that already written in?
I don't think so. I mean,
I don't think we have anything technically, but you would think. But he's going to do Suicide Squad.
Yeah, Suicide Squad's in like on the books.
I think this is great. This could be our very first way to bridge the gap. Like, I know actors have gone back and forth. Whedon's helped here and there, but this
has he helped though?
Well, helped like in quotes. That's an opinion question for sure. But no, I mean, James Gunn is going to be going and rebooting the Suicide
Squad, whole new cast.
Which he's going to do exactly what he did for Guardians. He's going to take characters people don't know. He's going to give them heart, personality. He has that humor element, so he's going to make that movie first.
Yeah.
And hopefully make another good DC movie. Then he's going to come back and finish up Guardians, hopefully, which I have no doubt in a great way with his characters finish that arc. So we're going to have two.
And then
Close, good movies, and then now the possibilities.
Well, I think Disney's going to be like, look, we know you've already doing that one. Don't you even think about going back.
So
also, how about, like, F you, you fired me. If you want to keep me in your good graces, you're going to let me.
Or they just be like, okay, see ya.
Or so he says see ya.
Here's a thought about Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
In order, since everybody was kind of like, oh, it'll be a Guardians clone of sorts, because it's a ragtag team of anti-heroes.
We thought about the first one, too.
Yeah. So, and since it's DC and they have more to lose and less to lose.
True.
Simultaneously,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Do they make it R?
I think it would be smart.
The Suicide Squad?
Yeah. To make it R.
Was the first one not?
No.
No.
Oh,
there's a rated R cut.
Oh, maybe that's the director's cut. Maybe
yeah,
that's
but like, do they make it R? Do they go the Deadpool route?
Yes.
And they basically, if like, well, if you're going to look at it as a Guardians knockoff, well, at least ours is the R-rated Guardians.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
I mean, why not?
Yeah.
You know? And it's not like there is a bunch of Suicide Squad merch, right? Like, Harley's not in it.
Right.
So they've moved Harley to a different movie. So
I believe she is.
I believe.
Are they recasting her too?
No.
No, she's locked
in. So it's a reboot, but I think they're going to keep her. The word on the street is that Harley was the only connection.
Right. And she was the highlight of the film. Oh, so yeah. Like, that's why I was like, wait, they're going to recast her.
And then, but then Idris Elba's Deadshot. What an awesome.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. Dave Bautista as Bane. I don't know.
that would be awesome.
I mean, I feel like if James Gunn is directing it, we're going to get Big Dave.
We are. Yeah. But he's not going to be. He's not going to give you those characters, though. That's the thing. He's going to make a Guardian.
He's
going to
be King Shark.
Thing. Yeah.
It's not going to be. Or Tiger Shark. Or one of the, you know. Totally. But no, I think if they're smart, you do. You make it rated R, which is what David Ayers wanted to do.
You make it DC's Deadpool.
Yep.
Oh, God. We've seen what David Ayers wanted to do. I think they watch Bright and they're like, hell no, you can't do another Suicide Squad movie.
Oh, sure.
That movie with every, like, it's such an uninspired script. Every other word is an F-bomb.
Isn't that
it just
weird?
Sounds
that
so,
I mean, like,
so
we
stupid.
Liked that Tank movie.
Yeah, Fury.
And I liked End of Watch. Like, End of Watch
is
an amazing movie.
End of Watch is great. I think that they just gave him, I don't know, I guess he could just do whatever he wanted on Bright. And, like, that's an unwatchable movie to me. And not because it's like, I don't care about them cursing or whatever, but seriously, the dialogue in that movie is so poorly written, and every other word is just a filler with an F-bomb, and it's like, this is just trash.
Did you see Will Smith doing stand-up?
No.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you.
What?
He's got some show called Bucket List, and he wanted to do stand-up. And I got to tell you, it wasn't bad. So, like, I mean,
he is a funny guy. Like, you see interviews with him and stuff. He's very quick and he's funny. And of course, he's got charisma
out the wazoo
to the nth degree.
And I do like that they,
except in that Genie trailer.
I got to tell you, though, that second trailer turned me around.
I when they do the thing about, like, make me a prince. And he's like, you really got to be careful with that can go a lot of ways or whatever.
There.
Yeah.
But and then he's not blue. He's blue in the Cave of Wonders, and he's not blue later.
Well, right. When he goes outside of... Yeah.
So, but that second trailer was way better than that first one.
It was better. It still looks like a very well done...
Disney Channel original movie.
Yes.
I mean...
To relate it to Disney.
They should
Hallmark
honestly,
or Deacon.
Right.
I wish they would have just doubled down on the Bollywood.
The problem is, it looks... I mean... From a cinematography perspective,
yeah.
So I watched the first half of that trailer. I wanted to get footage of the genie. I don't usually watch trailers, but also it's a remake of Aladdin, so like I don't think I'm gonna be like, oh my god, he's a street rat.
riff-raff.
So yeah,
scoundrel.
I don't buy that. So it's like I watched the movie and I'm looking at the cinematography and these shots look like garbage. And then it was funny because shortly after, our friend Matt from Next Best Picture, he posted like four pictures of different cinematography, and he's like, this looks horrible. And I'm like, yes, thank you. Someone thought the exact same thing. It was so uninteresting and so poorly shot that it looks like a TV movie.
Right.
Like, that's the difference a lot of times.
A good TV movie.
Yeah.
But
not
a TV
just,
movie.
Yeah, not just the script and the acting and everything, but also like the way it's filmed. You can tell when it's just like a low-level production versus someone with a Deacon's, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a difference. So
I think the other problem with it is it's too literal of a translation. Like, one of the things that I think made Jungle Book so great, or the stage production of Lion King, is that there was some interpretation there. And so they gave you something very familiar, but in a very new way.
Right.
And that was really endearing.
Yeah, it hit all those beats that you wanted them to hit. But
and I think it's also easier with Jungle Book because, like, I'll just say it. Jungle Book's not that good of a movie.
No, it's not.
The cartoon.
It's very boring.
Like, it's got a couple good scenes, and it's got some cute characters, and, like, there are elements that work, but it is certainly not top-tier Disney animated
I agree.
Quality.
Interesting.
And so I think it's also easier to take liberties with that without offending people. People haven't, I don't think, the average consumer has rewatched Jungle Book in the same way they've rewatched a Lion King or Aladdin.
Anything
or
in the resurgence. Right. Anything in the 89
or even
90s.
Something like Snow White or Pinocchio.
Right. The first classics or the resurgence.
Yeah.
In the middle, there's a lot of that. Like, I love Sword in the Stone.
So good.
I know, it's so good, right? But like, that's just one of those, the B-list of tiers. Jungle Book's definitely not B-list, but I still think it's...
It's like a B-plus list.
It's, it's not watched like the B-list stuff.
Well, I also think the only reason it gets elevated that way is because of the characters.
Yeah.
You know, like if you didn't have a Baloo or Mowgli or
if it didn't have the song Bare Necessities.
Also true.
It was also Disney's last movie he worked on, right? So I mean, like he didn't make it to the premiere. So he developed that like most of them for a long time, and I believe he didn't get to make it to the premiere.
Right.
So it's a special movie in that regard. And again, there's a lot of positive points. I like it, but you're right in making the point, at least with me, that like, I go back and watch Mermaid, Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast. I don't usually watch Jungle Book. You know? I mean, every once in a blue moon.
Sorry.
Oh, well done.
Excuse you.
Well done.
Yeah.
But back to Aladdin, I think it's too literal of a translation.
It could be.
I think I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of coming at it a little sideways. I think they'd done Kevin Hart, and instead of making the genie big, made him small. Yeah. I think that could have been a way to go.
And don't forget, there are some things that work in cartoons that don't work in live action.
Also,
that is just a fact of physics and the human brain and the way we interpret things. Like, you don't have to do a shot-for-shot remake all the time, and especially when it's a cartoony. Like, okay, Cinderella, directed by Kenneth Branagh. Starring Lily James. Love that movie.
Yeah.
I think he did an amazing job with the
remake.
It's about a girl that goes to a ball. There's a little bit of special magic.
They changed that story a little bit.
A little bit.
They modernized
it. And that
goes
also with the Rodgers and Hammerstein story of, you know, they take stuff from that. But the point is, that translates very well. Aladdin is about a genie and crazy magic.
It's nonstop magic.
It's going to be weird when they do like a facial reconstruction of Rodney Dangerfield.
For him making the joke.
Or Jack Nicholson or Groucho Marx.
So I was talking online with people about sequels and how the sequel is rarely better than the original.
Doesn't happen often.
And these were a couple people, our friend J.D. Duran from In Session that was just on the show, and a couple people, he has an In Session discussion group, just like we do League of Show Shares, good group over there. But they were talking about movies and Guardians. They both really don't like Guardians 2. And so I was kind of defending it and just talking to them about it. And I said, rarely the sequel's better, blah, blah, blah. And basically, they came back with this list of a few movies of...
Can I give one? Road Warrior.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. That's not even the list, but yeah. So they said T2.
Yep.
Return of the Jedi, because they're counting, I guess, the first one, not Empire. Because at first I'm like, well, no one's going to choose... Not many choose Jedi over Empire, but they're still going to the first one. Like,
okay.
But anyway, Aliens.
Yeah.
Winter Soldier.
Absolutely.
Toy Story 2.
Mm. And not that it's not an amazing movie.
Yeah.
It's just...
Toy Story's so good.
To me, they're perfectly equal.
Yep.
All three, really.
They're all very good.
We'll find out all four, hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
How to Train Your Dragon 2. I know we probably don't have much of an opinion there.
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
But JD loves that, so we know that from talking to him. The War and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes are better than the Franco one, even though I like the Franco one.
Right.
Like
those
next two builds. Like each one builds on the last one.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, those are just some of them. Obviously, we could go on and find others.
How did they not mention Godfather 2?
Well, I brought that up, and I'm like, well, that was my example. I go, how many movies are better than the original? Godfather 2?
Superman 2.
And I don't even know that I'd say Godfather 2 is better.
You think it's another Toy Story situation?
No, it's very true. They're both excellent.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah, they're both so damn good.
I think it's hard to really, that's
the problem is, I think, for me, it's the De Niro stuff.
De Niro stuff
that puts it over the top.
Yeah.
Going back,
I also think the last 20, 30 minutes... gets a little hard to follow. Gets a little hard to follow.
Where he's taking everybody out?
No, where like there's so many characters that are lying and they don't tell you who's lying.
Yeah.
So it gets really hard to, which is clever that you don't necessarily know who's lying. You know, but it gets a little convoluted and it works out, and it's just you just really have to be dialed in and follow it.
Right.
But it also makes it a little more difficult to enjoy. Like
Spider-Man 2.
I don't think it's... Yeah, I would agree with that. But I don't think it's as easy of a movie to just sit down and enjoy in the way that the first Godfather
is. That's probably a good point.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
I'm not like...
We're not pooping on Godfather
2. This isn't Godfather 3. We're talking about 2.
No, yeah, right.
And honestly, I think Godfather 3 gets a bum rap. Is it as good as 1 and 2? Absolutely not. But I also don't think it's to the level of garbage that it gets...
I think the problem is... It followed two of the greatest films ever made.
And it came and it came out on the heels of Goodfellas.
Right.
Yeah. And so not only is it a sequel to two of the best mobster movies ever made.
Right.
But then a new brand new movie enters the mobster.
flips the genre on its head.
And is just blows the doors off the joint. And then you're like, yeah, Godfather 3. And you're just like, no.
Oh, well, that's
he has
really
a stroke. Oh, yeah.
Well,
man.
Well, let me ask you this. I think this is a great way to finish this conversation because it segues right into sequels where they try to introduce new characters. So you have the movies that you love and the characters that you love. And then they're like, oh, here's Tommy Gunn or whatever. You know, like, it's just, but the point is, like, so Godfather 3, you're all excited. And then you're like, oh, there's a new guy trying to butt in. Oh, there's Tommy Gunn in Rocky 5. It's, you come for these characters you love, and then the movie goes, yeah, they're here, but let's try to introduce this other thing.
I feel like if you want a franchise, you have to introduce new characters.
Yeah,
to take your point about Rocky, they don't introduce anybody. Rocky 2 is probably, well, it's a different movie than Rocky 1.
Right. I think Rocky 1 and Rocky 2 in a lot of ways are one movie.
One big movie.
Like
totally.
It really,
that's true. You could do a Rocky saga where you could put them together. Yeah. But in Rocky 3, they do Clubber Lang. Mm-hmm. In Rocky 4, it's Ivan. It's just the villain at that point. But in Rocky 5, the villain is Tommy Gunn.
Yeah.
So like they're not really introducing a new character. They're just giving Rocky a different villain.
I don't know. I don't know. Something about it felt different. And I don't know if maybe
there's a reason.
Clubber and Drago were such good villains. And it was so interesting.
Yeah. Well, they tried to go back to the roots of Rocky 1 when it had become a superhero movie from 3 and 4.
Yeah.
And they tried to go back to.
Yeah.
And then it's a hard 180 of a movie because like Rocky's not fighting Rocky. You don't have Mick. You don't have, Adrian still alive? Yeah. She dies in between.
She dies off screen.
She dies in between 5 and. Yeah, you're right.
Right.
Right. Between 5 and Balboa. Yeah.
Doesn't he just go visit her grave or something?
And, Talia Shire is just like, no.
Yeah. But at the same time, we were talking about how you don't want sequels to just be retreads.
Right.
And if you don't want a retread, that means you're going to get new characters.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
that's the way that works.
I guess people want adventures with their same heroes. Like, okay, in Star Wars, if we didn't follow the same three damn people, you'd be mad.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
but I feel
you
like
want to finish their story. You
with
don't
Guardians.
Want, Guardians, we're going to get the same three people.
But
for the,
we're not, though. Like, well, we're they're going to add and take away. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, that's a team, right?
Yeah.
So your core team will stay the same. You're going to get Rocket. You're going to get Drax.
Well, that's what I mean.
Groot,
yeah.
But they're going to throw in Mantis. Mm-hmm. They're going to her out. They're going to throw in maybe Nova. We don't know what Guardians 3 is going to be.
That's totally fine. I just mean that you want to have your main characters and it really focusing on their story.
Yes.
And I think sometimes they get ahead of themselves and they are trying to set up for a franchise or sequel and they know people can't do this stuff forever, so they start to like kind of transition them.
Right.
Sure.
And you get frustrated because you're there for your core group and it's just a hard line to walk.
Next thing you know, it's the next Karate Kid.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do though with that point? I mean, Danny would have been 45 still training with Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah.
So like I get trying to extend that franchise.
Next thing you know, it's Ted Wass as the son of Inspector Clouseau.
That happened though, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And you know, I think is the next Karate Kid Hilary Swank?
The next Karate Kid is Hilary Swank. And that's Hilary Swank coming off of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, not Million Dollar Baby.
Right.
Right, yes. I know I know that he was not training her at 42.
Yeah, it was not a 35-year-old karate kid.
The karate adult.
That would be Million Dollar Baby.
That's true, yeah. Right.
So I will say, though, that at that point in time, and maybe we didn't realize that Joe and I would have been the age, but that movie was really important to girls just like Captain Marvel is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Katie loves that movie and loved having a female lead in the role being trained to do karate and everything. So
yeah, I've never seen it.
Yeah,
I saw it in the theaters. It's been
came and went. Yeah. It was like such a non thing in the theaters.
And it's not great, but I watched it with her, and I'm like, yeah. I mean, I get it. And so they were doing something special there. It wasn't just like let's gender flip it.
Right.
It was like let's have a girl's perspective.
It's also kind of hard. I mean, Buffy had come out maybe a year before.
Yeah.
So that movie, I don't think that movie did well in theaters.
That's why it became a TV show.
That's also true. But it blew up on home video.
Yeah, it's a cult.
Yeah, just like Joss Whedon. That's what he does. Like he's.
But I still feel like it picked up on home video because of the TV show.
I don't know. People circled back around. The movie was first.
I thought it became popular, and then they made a TV show because of how popular
I think
the following
because
was.
Maybe there was a comic in between, too.
Might have been.
Yeah. But I think it's hard to. double down on a sequel.
Yeah.
When you're, you know, but Captain America to me is the one of the best.
Yeah.
That Winter Soldier, man, Winter Soldier is probably the best that Marvel's ever done. Yeah. I say that as we're about a month away from
I think I'd agree that Winter Soldier is up there with stepping it up. I mean, I like First Avenger, but Winter Soldier is next level filmmaking. Like,
yeah.
That is,
yeah.
You know,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, in conclusion, welcome back, James Gunn.
Welcome back, James.
So that's what we're looking to do. And, you know, we're looking to talk news, talk movies, a little more freeform. This is basically the exact same stuff we did in between the box office numbers, but we're splitting it up so that people realize we're talking about more than numbers. So now we'll give you our movie news talk segment, and then we'll read off the box numbers and separate them so that it's a little clearer to the listeners.
And maybe we'll throw some extra tangents in there.
Oh, there's no doubt there will be
tangents. We don't have the abilities to contain ourselves.
But
so
we will have to mute your mic every once in a while because we'll have to get through this quickly.
So I've only got one tidbit of news. It's no big deal.
Now that we've done all that, we will turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin, finally, has his abacus at the ready.
Oh,
Kevin?
It just sticks around. We talked about this already. So, number one, of course, this is no surprise here, Captain Marvel. But, you know, the trolls were hoping it would take that big second week dive.
Kevin, did it?
54% drop.
Absolutely
from a huge
not.
opening. We were, I think, a little low in our estimate. It opened to 150, I think 155 was around the final number. So 70 million is this weekend's take. You're at $266.8 million domestic, but last weekend with the worldwide total,
man,
was already at 500 on the first weekend, and now we are approaching up over 650 million, probably closer to 700 million in 2 weeks.
Did you see the trailer? Did either one of you see the trailer
for
Endgame?
I didn't watch it. No.
Okay.
I did.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you something in the trailer, Kevin, that you will thoroughly enjoy? It's not bad.
I don't really. Yeah, I'm not. I will say my exception for a long time was Star Wars and superhero movies.
Yeah.
And then I just started like kind of forgetting that rule and just not watching everything. But I used to get pretty excited and watch
this.
They
don't tell you anything, first of all.
Yeah, I heard
it's all flashbacky. Yeah. There's a couple scenes.
Well, and supposedly they're saying that everything in the trailer is from the first 20 minutes.
Oh, okay.
That's cool.
That makes sense when you look at some of the stuff.
Yeah.
There's a scene between Thor and Captain Marvel.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That was the very end.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
He just kind of puts his hand, like, they're face to face. He's got his hand out. Whatever his weapon is.
Groot axe. Yeah.
Flies right past her face, and, like, her hair. She doesn't bat an eye, doesn't move, catches it, and then she kind of smirks at him and goes, "I like her." And that's it. And then people
I've
are just like,
the memes,
make
they,
that a thing. Like,
yeah.
Make the,
yeah.
Not me and Tom.
They're shipping
but,
it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I think a lot of fans are shipping that, too.
Well, especially now that they've seen us. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, especially. But, yeah, there's a meme going around where he has different, they put different things in his hand.
Yeah. It's very, but the no sell on her part is pretty good.
Yeah. We'll definitely see what happens with that, but obviously you can go back and listen to our super ultra mega episode that was about 2 hours last week, and we had a lot to say about it.
I mean, come on, it's a superhero movie.
Yeah,
like, and I don't think we've ever done one under 2 hours,
and since this may be the most discussion and the quickest we've ever gotten it over that movie, which I like. I mean, it's great when a movie can get people to talk about
it.
It's not a movie that just everyone loves, everyone hates. This is a movie that there's a lot to discuss, and there's a lot of pros, a lot of cons. I mean, most people can see positives and negatives
here,
and it causes for great discussion. So we appreciate that. I love that. I mean,
I had a really awesome discussion at my local comic shop with the people working there. It was good stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm glad they started talking to you again.
It's tough.
So anyway, yeah.
Judging me on what I buy.
So, and did we say Captain Marvel had like a 150 budget last week?
We didn't know a budget.
I believe that's what we found it. I think that's what it was.
Yeah. So it's at about 702 weeks on 150. So Captain Marvel will return in everything.
If Captain Marvel was a man, it would have been 175. Because women get 75 cents on the dollar.
That's the way it is.
So that's about how that works.
And then, of course,
that's just the way the world works. I'm not saying I'm for it.
And then Feige saying that she's it. She's the leader of the MCU.
Yeah, so now.
And I'm just like, well. All right, Steve Rogers.
When I heard that rumor going around, and based on what Feige's saying in his interviews and everything, see, that's why they brought her in the next to last movie.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I really wish they, in my mind, they did kind of a DC thing there. I wish they would have built her up a little and not had her show up in one movie, kill Thanos in the next, and then become the leader of
we don't know what's gonna happen,
but I know, but you I'm know. Just saying, like,
he's just saying she's the most powerful,
but it that's means Cap's going away and Captain Marvel is the new captain.
Maybe.
We all thought it was gonna be
maybe
Bucky
he'll be,
or
maybe he'll
Falcon
be, maybe he'll be major
Maybe. Yeah, Major America.
Major America.
So we'll see what happens. But yes, I did see that going around.
He finally gets a promotion after 70 years.
Number two, Wonder Park, everyone's favorite animated film of the year with those really creepy character designs.
Oh, is that what that
the
is?
The orange monkey, yeah. Weird faced. You've seen this character.
I haven't paid attention to it.
I saw a trailer for it, yeah.
It's a weird looking.
It is a weird looking movie.
It has no director.
What?
Oh, did Bryan Singer do this one too?
He might have. I don't know if he directs under a pseudonym or something, but the director was fired for sexual misconduct.
Oh, was he really?
Yes.
Oh, I was kidding.
Oh, so
I didn't know that.
I believe, from my understanding, it's the first movie since Caligula to not have a director.
Caligula didn't have a director?
No. He wanted his name off of it, didn't he?
I think so, yeah. He didn't want to be attached to
it.
I
own that.
Well,
I don't know
how often
why
pop
I own that,
that. Bad boy.
Not often. I don't even think
it's on the X-rated version or the R-rated version?
Yeah, the X-rated version. That was a Penthouse movie. What? Penthouse produced that.
No way.
Look it up.
Oh, that's so...
Yeah. That's the one with Helen Mirren, right?
I don't remember. It's maybe.
I think it is. It's a
Malcolm,
young Helen Mirren, too.
Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah.
Is the guy.
Okay. So now the question is, which is stickier, Kevin's Abacus?
or my unopened copy of Caligula?
Your copy of Caligula.
I mean, he couldn't make it past the shrink wrap, so I think we know.
Not
which,
even out of the shrink wrap.
I think we know which one.
It's so dirty, he even left the movie in a condom.
Didn't want to risk it.
So anyway, Wonder Park opened to $18 million. I don't even know how that happened. Maybe they're buying up the tickets
kids
or giving
movie.
Them away.
And there's not, I mean, yeah,
I guess there's a bunch out
there's
though.
There's Dragon, but that's been out for.
I know. It's just, when you see this movie, it's like.
Did you see it?
No.
Oh.
When you see that it exists, and yeah, it's interesting. So $18 million, and I think the rumor is it's been on the shelf for a while too.
Well,
so.
They kicked Bryan Singer off Red Sonja finally too.
That's the word on the street. Yeah. So, I mean, we're making progress little by little. So anyway, Wonder Park, I don't have a budget on it, but $18 million, I think that's a very big surprise for them. I think this is one that they were holding on to so long it could have went straight to video.
Yeah.
And so to make $18 million on it, and then it'll probably be out next week or put in your Easter basket or whatever.
It's called Wonder Park because people are like, I wonder why it made so much money.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Coming in at number three, 5 Feet Apart with $13 million. That is a CBS Films
How
joint.
Many times are they going to do this movie?
The Dying.
Until it stops making money.
Yeah, but I feel like even the Dying, I could deal with the Dying thing. But didn't they just put out another movie where the, what's the Shailene Woodley one where she had COPD?
That's like 4 years ago. Fault in Our Stars?
Is that what it was? Really?
Yeah, that's been a while.
That was one of the big ones.
And that was really good too. And then there was another one last year where there was like the girl that like couldn't leave her house or something. It was like the girl in the plastic bubble kind of movie.
Yeah, but then.
And that was pretty bad.
What was the one with the kid from Ender's Game where he was like the space kid? Like, wasn't he born in space and he couldn't come to Earth?
Isn't that? Oh, there is that, because I was thinking the guy from Hunger Games is in one of those movies with Shailene Woodley, and then, or not Hunger Games, not Hunger Games they stopped making?
Maze Runner.
Oh, Maze Runner.
Was it the Maze Runner guy?
Yeah.
Because when he was in Maze Runner and the other Shailene Woodley movie that stopped, there's so many of these different things.
It's all starring Shailene Woodley.
Or do you mean Divergent?
Yeah, but he's in both.
Okay.
I think he's in, they cross between some of these segments.
Yeah.
But that's, I think that's Baby from Baby Driver, right? That's...
Oh, yeah, he
Ansel
was in
Elgort,
Hunger Games. But I don't think he was in
It's not Hunger
Divergent.
Games.
No, he's in Hunger Games.
He's the brother in Divergent.
Oh. All right.
I'm
then maybe he isn't. Maybe it's male. It doesn't matter. Yeah. They all run together.
I
they're all
that,
done, so
I
it doesn't matter.
That movie out.
Yeah. So anyway, but I mean, they're still trying to do this story.
But like the main character from Bates Motel, the main girl, who I think is this girl.
She was good.
Has COPD in that one, too.
Hmm. Which they have cystic fibrosis in this movie.
Oh,
so
that's what.
Okay,
get your disease of the week straight.
Sorry,
but I saw it.
Yeah,
you did see that.
Yeah, okay. It's okay. Like for
it's
this
exactly
kind of
what it is. Isn't
it's
it?
Exactly what it is. It's really lifted up by the two performances, the two main performances. They're both really good.
I think she could be.
Yeah,
she I liked her a lot on Bates Motel.
Yeah,
Haley Lou Richardson.
Is that am I right? Was she on
Cole
was she in Bates Motel?
Something.
It's Haley Lou Richardson and Cole Sprouse.
Okay, and they were both really good and took an after school special and made it better than it deserved to be. And I will also say the ending is so ridiculous, it's laughable. But but if you see it in an audience of teenage girls like I did, you won't be able to hear a word over the sound of ugly crying.
Oh, so, well, I guess they've got their thing.
She was in The Edge of 17 with Hailee Steinfeld.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That was a good movie.
That was a great movie.
So, yeah, I, you know, I the big debate over these movies that's on the internet is, are these giving a voice and a story to people with disabilities and people that want to see people like them on the big screen, or is it, you know, exploiting people with sickness? You know,
it is both of those.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know how you tell a story like this and not also have some degree of exploitation,
right,
of you're tapping into that niche of people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know. I don't have cystic fibrosis. I don't know if you know that or not.
I didn't know that. And, I'm glad you don't.
I don't know anyone who does. So I don't really, but it seemed like a fairly realistic portrayal. And like, you felt bad for them, but I also don't feel like the characters were presented as things you should pity.
Do you know that's what Anton Yelchin had?
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
He was diagnosed at a young age, but no one knew. It was not a public thing.
Yeah.
And then when he died and had an autopsy and all that, and then the family came out and said he had that. So he was living with that and, you know, acting his ass off. I think one of the best actors out there. And he was, you know, living with that. It's just something interesting to keep in mind while he was out there.
Did you call out Fright Night as a good movie?
Yeah, I enjoyed that a lot.
Oh, man, that's bad.
I'm not the only one. That's to each their own. But yeah, it's. I mean, I think that's so sad. It would have been his 30th birthday last week, and he was one of my favorite actors. I think he elevated anything he was in.
Green Room is,
go see Green Room.
If you've never seen Green Room,
The Range, though. Okay, so like the first movie I saw him in, Charlie Bartlett with Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
When he's a high school drug dealer, like that movie. He's so charismatic. He's so fun, you know. But then he goes and he does, you know, Chekhov in Star Trek, and he does
Wechter.
Yeah, but then he does Like Crazy, that romance movie with Felicity Jones that I'm always talking about, and he did Green Room, this horror crazy movie, and The Range this kid had.
Yeah,
and he did that weird, that strange. It's called something like It was on Netflix, I think. I don't know if it went straight to Netflix.
Was it his last one?
No, it was one of the later ones, though, and it was called, like, I'm just totally blanking, Something Strange, or the name of the movie was, like, Weird, Strange, Strange, whatever his
name. Brew.
Yeah, Strange. He did spray. He went back. He's so good. He went back.
He played the toque.
So, anyway, but that's very, I mean, I'm always just saddened by his passing and wonder what he could have done. But, yeah, I mean, that's a serious thing. There's no messing around.
It's funny, I've always thought that about River Phoenix.
It's another one.
Like, River Phoenix is the guy who I was just like, I mean, I grew up with Stand By Me. I grew up with the young Indiana Jones and things like that. But when you see him in My Own Private Idaho, you're just like, oh, yeah. Like, you're the dude.
He was the real deal.
He was going to be, I think he would have had DiCaprio's career, probably.
Yeah.
Like, and DiCaprio did what he did, and nothing away from DiCaprio, obviously, because that dude's an amazing actor, but I feel like
he'd be trying to do a Growing Pains reboot on Crackle.
Yeah, that's right. Geez. While River Phoenix is getting Oscar, you know, awards for, you know, Quentin Tarantino movie.
Yeah, but you know, that could be a whole other discussion. You know, gone too soon. So many actors we've lost that, you know.
Paul
Newman. Yeah.
Gone
Corey
too
Haim
soon.
No, not Corey. I'm just kidding.
Oh, the Coreys.
I gotta tell you, so Feldman, somebody was doing like RIP Corey, and I was like, holy shite, we lost Corey Feldman. But it was like Haim had, or I guess Feldman had put, you know, because of the anniversary of his death or whatever.
Yeah.
So like RIP.
Feldman's indestructible.
He must be. Good Lord.
Yeah. So anyway, so, well, I'm glad that at least someone could, you know, say something about 5 feet apart. I didn't realize you'd seen it. So, yeah. There it is.
There's all you need to know.
Yeah. It made $13 million.
If you have a 13-year-old daughter who loves to weep.
Perfect.
Yeah. And now's the time.
Number four, How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, came in with $9.5 million, a 35% drop. That is up to $135 million in week seven. They put our weeks back on here. Thank you, box office.
But it's a weird seven.
Yeah, I remember
that. Because
like,
remember, it opened like 2 weeks early. They're counting those.
Oh, right.
It's really like
so
week
five,
three, I think.
You know. Yeah. So honestly, they're doing that with Shazam.
Yeah.
Shazam's opening 2 weeks early.
I got my tickets already.
I know that for the early release?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're doing more things like that, too, like 5 feet apart. I saw it. It opened on Thursday. Yeah. I saw it on Wednesday, but it was only available at Marcus Theaters.
Hmm. You know what? You know what they're doing, though? They're getting you to pay for the early screenings.
Yeah.
So instead of handing out free tickets to see a movie a week early, they're getting you to pay for your free ticket. Like,
but I only saw it a day early on 5 feet apart.
Well, yeah, but a lot of these are weeks apart, and they're doing them. You know, Lego Movie 2 did 2 weeks out, then it did 1 week out again. Like, these movies, are to get the word out, it used to be free, and I think they're figuring out, well, there's people excited enough where we'll bill it as one day only this week or whatever,
right,
all over the country, and they're buying, you know.
And it's way easier to do that now that digital distribution is here.
Absolutely. Yeah. So anyway, but that movie had a $129 or
that's quite the bargain. Yeah. That's the most profitable movie of all time.
It's even better than a Paranormal Activity.
Yeah.
So $129 million budget for that one. But Dragon is quickly approaching $500 million. So That's good for that one.
It's a massive franchise. There's no doubt about that.
It deserves it too. So, I mean, even a little bit lower than I would have expected, but I'm sure they're still happy with it, about three times its budget in actual week three or four or whatever it's in. Coming in at number five, Tyler Perry's Madea Family Funeral, $7.9 million, a 37% drop. We're up to $58 million on that domestic, $730,000 overseas. Making some big foreign money there.
Why not?
Yeah. So anyway, but either
that's
way.
Tyler Perry just buying up theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all they do anymore, the film companies. Yeah, just buy their own tickets. Yeah. That's where the real money's
at.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel, really? Sold 6 tickets. Yeah. It's a big difference, I know. But
we're half the audience.
Yeah, we are.
We've only had 2 people download the episode.
They're waiting. They're like, I don't know, wait for video. Number six, No Manches Frida 2.
Yeah.
What's up, buddy? We dropped down to the...
Oh. Good for you.
No, I don't know. I guess, I mean, because, yeah, well... Maybe did I put this right? Yeah, I did.
No, it
is. Okay, so number six is down in the limited release, No Manches Frida 2, with $4 million.
It's weird. I mean, because we pay attention to this. I've never heard of the first one.
No Manches Frida?
And my guess is it's probably technically called No Manches Frida Dose.
Oh.
Not trying
touché.
To.
Not How do you say touche in Spanish?
Yeah, touche.
I'm not trying to white mansplain to you, but...
Well, you'd be the one to do it if anyone was.
That's true. Well, actually.
As a matter of fact.
Oh, happy St. Patrick's Day, Tom.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I hate St. Patrick's Day. The Irish have awful food. Corned beef and cabbage? Why would you willingly eat that crap?
Because it's tasty.
Disgusting. It smells like somebody boiled a foot.
What about those shepherd's pies, though? Those are pretty good.
I don't know.
What about some haggis?
Do they fill them with sweet tarts?
No.
Haggis. And maybe it's Scottish. I don't know.
I think it's Scottish.
I don't know. They're all the same to me. And I know
you can say that.
Yeah, there's so few there's so few racially insensitive things I can get away with saying. So allow me to really revel
potato
in my
famine.
Moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Famine.
We had it coming.
Yeah.
For no other reason than our lousy poetry.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I hadn't heard anything about this, but apparently it does have a following.
Going to go on a limb and say we're not the demo.
Nope.
No.
Stands to reason that we didn't see ads for a Spanish language film.
Sure. But they've done this a lot. What was that one movie, the comedy that people turned out for weeks? Remember that?
Yeah,
the yellow poster.
Yeah.
We were just like, what?
But it just kept chugging. Yeah. I mean, we were still recording in the compound.
Yeah.
It was that long ago.
I think we were. You're right.
So, they do that. And so, good for that movie. And I mean, that's one of the great things that I've found is if you go to AMC theaters, and I know you guys do sometimes, they do a lot of foreign screenings.
They do.
Like no other theater gets these movies. They do it for like the Bollywood stuff.
Yeah.
And they do it for the Spanish.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll show up on like a Thursday night like soft opening to pick up a movie I missed.
I do the same thing.
And I'll walk
always...
in and I'm like, why are there like 600 Chinese people here? And then like 2 weeks later, why are there 600 Indian people?
Yeah,
get them to the theater.
It's so cool. Yeah. Because the theaters already are struggling getting people in. And then you also have a population that's underserved and their movies are either going straight to video or whatever. And it's great that like AMC will go and they'll have these event nights and people pack the house.
Absolutely.
There was so much concern when movies switched to digital that they were going to run out of business, the smaller theaters.
Oh.
And I'm sure that there are some theaters that happen to, and I feel bad. Like, I'm not trying to be like, it's worth it. But I will also say one of the advantages of these theaters switching to digital is that they can show niche films like this.
They can grab one theater
that have a hyper-targeted audience that has a sizable community, but not sizable enough to justify a large rollout.
Right.
And those communities can get those movies now, which is a great result of switching to digital.
Yeah.
I want to tell you a couple stats real quick on the No Manches Frida franchise. Do you know that this is number 2 highest grossing in the No Manches Frida franchise?
Shocking.
Some stats there for you.
I believe you mean number dose.
Yeah.
Oh,
get it right.
Oh, I guess.
Jeez.
Still early here. So anyway, good for them. And coming in at number 7 now, back up to the regular chart here, Captive State.
Nope.
No? No for me?
Yeah.
Oh, there's there's another four.
There's another four.
There's another
dollar.
Four. So yeah. I'm sorry. I do apologize. And we don't want to forget Apollo 11.
Yeah, I mean, good for it.
$4 million. I meant to go see it this past week. So I wanted to see it on IMAX, but then Captain Marvel kicked it off IMAX. AMC was still playing it on some regular theaters, and I just didn't get the chance. But I am hearing nothing but great things.
It looks pretty. It looks spectacular.
Yeah, I'd really like
it. I haven't unfortunately been able to see it yet either.
But anyway, so hopefully it will stick around a little longer. But $4 million, that's great. That's a 220% increase from the previous week. People are coming out for that one and enjoying it. And let's see, let's move down two spots now. And I can still say Captive State, and you can still say no. This is a movie that Focus dropped out of nowhere with John Goodman in it.
Oh.
It's like, I mean, it looks like a Cloverfield movie, but it's not.
Yeah.
And it's apparently...
Which is also true of Cloverfield.
All the ones after Cloverfield at this point. Yeah. But it's like... I don't even know how to explain it. Just the word is that it is not good, and they didn't screen it. There was like a weird embargo, or maybe they screened it for only East and West Coast. There was an embargo like for an hour before it hit theaters. Like, they did not want people talking about this movie, and again, most places didn't screen it. And so I had some critic friends that went and saw it on, I think, either Thursday or Friday night before, you know, this last week, and they're just like, no,
don't do it. Don't do it.
And, you know, it looked like when they finally did drop a trailer and you heard anything about it, like, it looked like it could be cool, but
no dice.
I don't know. Yeah, unfortunately
no
not.
Boss.
So I guess wait on home video for that one. Save yourself a few bucks. All right, coming in at number 9, we've got the Lego Movie 2, the second part, still hanging on with a couple of other kids' movies to combat, but $2.2 million, so still raking in a little
number?
Bit of dough. This is number 9.
And week
8.
Okay.
So $2.2 million. I mean, in week 8, making a couple million, still pretty sweet.
Yeah. Probably but, not. I mean, total.
But their total is way off.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm
it's
sure
I, this,
kinda, this. Hopefully this will.
This is a mystery for the ages. I really still am trying to figure it out.
Maybe it's fatigue.
Yeah.
Maybe. Like, maybe it's just Lego fatigue.
Yeah. I don't know.
You know, like, they flooded the market with that stuff.
They did, but people were eating it up, and this is a Lego proper, so I don't know. Anyway, $2.2 million, 43% drop from last week, so it's at just over $100 million domestic. Again, pretty disappointing take for that one. And overseas, where you expect the animation to run wild, and maybe it isn't completely wide release with all the other stuff, but before the totals this weekend, $67 million overseas.
That is super light.
We're at like $167 before the final estimates this weekend, but still. And I
don't even think they recouped their budget.
I think that's 167, I think, is very close to their budget. And then, of course, you only get half the tickets, double or 50% for advertising. I mean, they've got to make 300 and something million to break even.
Yeah.
And that's they're at 160. Close. So disappointing for Lego, too. I know Tom and I even talked off air, like, what happened? It's so weird that
for a movie that people had so much passion for.
Right.
And it's not even like it's horrible. Like, you know, I would get it if they were like, oh, you know, we love the first one, but I'm hearing this one's terrible. It's not even bad.
Yeah.
So it's like, what on earth?
Did Lord Miller direct this one?
No.
No.
Aha.
No, they were off doing Solo, which they also didn't direct. What a shame. I mean, I know Solo was entertaining, but I still out there, you know, I said it before, I don't need to go into it, but I'd love to see what that was, at least just out of curiosity, just like you want to see a Nick Cage Superman. Like, I want to see what a Lord Miller Solo is, you know, it's just the curiosity of it. You know, I'm happy with what we got.
I'm glad you said Nick Cage Superman and not like Zack Snyder Justice League, which is where I thought we were going.
We don't have time to get into that.
Yeah.
And rounding out the top 10 is, as I do the math, carry the one, Alita. Battle Angel Alita. Still sticking with us.
The people that wanted to show up for that instead of Captain Marvel didn't really.
Yeah, apparently the James Wood army. That's a thing. Like, I'm not kidding. James Woods said to everybody, don't go see Captain Marvel because they all hate men. Go see Alita Battle Angel. Like, that's.
Well, I guess we see the effect that had.
Exactly. It had the adverse. I'm sure Robert Reagan's like, will you shut up?
Yeah, he
doesn't. Don't invoke my movie.
Oh, my gosh. People on Twitter, it's great. So I guess it's a part of, it's kind of a badge of honor. I see all these Twitter friends that I have. Hey, I've been blocked by James Woods. These other people, congratulations. That happened 2 years ago. To, you know, so now, because they, you know, they're not being like outright crazy to him, but he says crazy stuff and they're like calling him out.
Yep.
And he just blocked. Lucky he only wants to listen to the people that...
That's fine. If you want to only surround yourself with people that agree
with
you.
Right, it's echo chamber.
Exactly.
That's what he's doing. So.
Before we get out of here,
the
new Conjuring spinoff.
Bye, Joe. See
ya. Yeah, there it goes. Bye. But yeah, so apparently there's a new flick coming out in the next couple months called The Curse of La Llorona?
Oh, the Macarena?
Sure. But...
My Sharona?
My Sharona. But nobody, like, it was just, it would look like a
The Curse of My Sharona is that it's a love song about a 16-year-old girl.
Also, but, also correct. Yeah. Yeah.
I always had a taste for the younger kind. Like, that's the in the chorus of the song.
That's why you don't really hear that song anymore. But nobody knew anything. It just looked like a random horror flick.
Was that back when 16 was, like, people got married and dated more? 16? I don't know. People
I'm trying to remember if there's actually an age attached to it. I was just kind of wing. But like, it is, like, I've always had a taste for the younger kind.
Ooh, so. Gross.
Creepy.
Gross. But yeah, so this is another Conjuring spinoff.
Produced by James Wan, I'm sure, not directed.
It is. No, not directed. Yeah.
I heard it's also a Cloverfield movie. Is that true?
Yeah. They tied them both in together.
Yeah.
But there's a character from Annabelle. That shows up.
Oh my God! Who are they spinning
movie.
Off from this one?
No, it's just the priest. The priest from Annabelle shows up in this movie as the same character. So
it's going to be like the guy working drive through at the restaurant they went by. Right. Also, is cursed. Fry man.
They're just going to. It's just. It's funny that. How many spinoffs have come from The Conjuring.
And
we're
funny.
Just like, can we do this one now?
And cha-ching.
Yeah,
cha-ching.
And then Conjuring 3 apparently is going into production.
Okay, and with the proper cast?
With proper cast.
Okay.
Not James Wan isn't directing, but...
Oh, so we'll see what happens with that one.
Well, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, B-U-T-T-S-21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. And if you want to find the show online, you can do that at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers, on Twitter at Real Spoilers, or on our Patreon at Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. Coming up with the next one, we will tackle Triple Frontier. It's on your Netflix machine, so there's no excuses unless you don't have Netflix, and then I guess you have an excuse, or if you're like Amish or something. So
I feel like they still wouldn't have
Netflix.
Why
are you listening
then?
To this episode?
Fair enough. That's a good point. So anyway, that's what you got to look forward to. So until then, you've been warned.
First things first, any man here that wants to walk away can do so knowing they're the best of us. This got to be now. There is no ground support. The injuries we sustain, we're walking out with. Make no mistake about it. You guys need to own the fact that we do not have the flag on our shoulders. You cannot go back to your normal life after tonight.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.